ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवते ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो। So we are going to the 15th chapter now. The very first verse. Please take verse number 1.
Maitreya Buvacha Prajapatyam tu tattejah Paratejohanam ditihi दधार वर्षाणि शतम् शंकमाना सुरार्धनात्।
श्री मैत्रेय सेड, माय डियर विदुरा, दिति द वाइफ ऑफ द सेज कश्यप कुड अंडरस्टैंड दैट द सन्स विद इन हर रूम वुड बी अ कॉज ऑफ डिस्टर्बेंस टू द डेमिगॉड्स. As such, she continuously bore the powerful semen of Kashyapa Muni, which was meant to give trouble to others, for 100 years. And the purpose is that Diti bore the sons within her abdomen because she was thinking that they will cause disturbance to demigods. So, therefore, she was reluctant to give birth to her babies. Therefore, she waited for 100 years. See, Shukadeva Goswami remained for 16 years because he didn't want to come out because this world is full of Maya. Maya Moha Dunya. Whereas these two fellows were ready to come out, but mother was not allowing for 100 years because she thought they will come and create a lot of disturbance to demigods. So, elsewhere I read Chakravarti Thakur say that this is one reason why she didn't let them take birth. There's another reason, because she thought they'll be killed by the Supreme Lord. So she wanted to protect the children as long as she could, you know. That is also said somewhere else, it is said. That's another reason. Read the second one. So the first one I have written a theme here. Read the theme.
Avoiding giving trouble to other living entities.
Yeah. So, His Holiness Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Maharaj, he wrote some few principles for his disciples. Some of the principles are very... I'll check whether I can get it. See the Golden Rule 1. Read it, somebody.
Golden Rule 1. Treat everyone you encounter as if the success or failure of your spiritual life depends on the quality of your interactions with them.
Which means, for example, if I deal with another devotee, the relationship becomes strained and leads to heartbreaking, then naturally the quality of my spiritual life, his spiritual life goes down, correct, no? But if we have a very sweet exchange with another devotee, healthy exchange, benefiting me and him, then it takes both of us to higher elevated platform. Therefore, even before we interact with anyone, we should make up our mind that I will try to keep the relationship as nice as possible. We should not, he says that don't bring your passions out in interpersonal dealings and don't ruin your relationship with others unnecessarily. For example, you go and talk to another devotee in case you feel that it is going to become strained You can say that, okay, let's talk it tomorrow, not today. Instead of your mind, you can make up your mind, because it's going to go from bad to worse now. Better you drop that matter there. So he says, worry about the interactions you have with others. About what kind of worry you should have? He says, what is the quality of interaction I am having with others? So can it be a very nice spiritual quality of interaction? Like that he is saying. Think about it. Then second golden rule. Is this second one?
Reflect on the person you love the most and aspire to treat everyone with that same quality of love.
Very challenging. Huh? Correct? In case you have a very deep love for someone, oftentimes people say they have such a deep love for the spiritual master. Now, can you treat others with similar love? Very challenging. But he says, if one can endeavor to treat others with such type of love, then one will make tremendous progress. Third rule.
View all conflicts as your own fault first.
when there is a conflict between two people, generally what one does? They will blame others only. Huh? They will not take the blame on themselves. He says, view all conflicts as your own fault first. If everybody does it, will there be any problem? Similarly, imagine two people have problem of having conflict. And both of them think, I am the first cause. Do you think there will be any problem? Then they will go to their respective rooms and sit and think, you know, how I can rectify it. Then it will only lead to love and friendship. The problem is people blame one another. Correct, no? It's a conflict resolution. See? Isn't it? The right side one shows friendly behavior, correct? Left side one shows conflict. Read the fourth one.
Realize that people in your present environment might very well be the people with whom you will live out your life and who are likely to be with you at the time of death.
See, why he says one should not quarrel with the people around you? Because you may have to live with them for next 20, 30, 40, 50 years also. Likely. Huh? You may have to live with them. And then likely that when we leave this situation, when we die, they may be in the funeral. So in the funeral, what do you want people to think about you? You know, actually people should be crying that, alas, alas, this person I loved so much, such a wonderful devotee I am, I have lost. Should they cry like that? Or they should be happy that Gaya be. Thank God, now I am relieved. You know, when asuras die, that's what people think. You know, once my father was telling that Narakasura, when he died, on that day, people celebrate Diwali. So do we want people to celebrate that we have gone and we won't trouble them anymore? Or we want people to feel that, alas, alas, I have lost this wonderful association of this devotee, like that we should feel. Therefore, one should think. So now we'll recollect the four golden rules. What is the first one? The success of our spiritual life depends on the quality of our interaction with others. One should think about this. How do we? What is the quality of interaction? Number one. Number two? Remember the person whom you love the most and try to treat all others with the same type of love. At least try. If it's not possible, he's saying. Third one. Consider all source, the first source of any conflict to be oneself. Yeah. That is about conflict. And then the last fourth one, without seeing. Realize that the people with whom you are living right now might very well be the people with whom you have to live out your entire life. Like imagine you are a roommate of somebody whom you don't like at all. But imagine you both have to live next 30 years together. The same room. Every morning you get up and see. You see like this, you see like this, you know. Both, isn't it? You have to look at each other. So he says you have to live out your life. Huh? And then when our body is lying dead, around the people who are surrounding our body, he may be one of them. Likely. Correct, no? One should think like that. So what do we want them to think? Should they cry that they are missing us? Or should they be happy that Gaya be? Like that, what you think? It's nice, no? So 4 points we have told regarding avoiding trouble to other living entities. Correct, no? If you, actually, these 4 principles were given by His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami to His disciples. He told them that if you follow these 4, you know, you'll be able to treat other devotees very warmly. Many times people ask how can we work on interpersonal relationship. One observation I made and learnt in my life is, if we mind our own business, everybody is peaceful. So that's why we say, mind your own business. So as soon as you are in a responsible position where you have to, you know, manage somebody, you have to control somebody for a good cause or bad cause, whatever it is. Immediately, then there are problems immediately in this world. But here, instead of saying that one small thing, he is saying 4 beautiful principles. So these are very worth following. And these 2 fellows, what do you think they were doing? Let us go through the same 4 principles. What is the first principle? The quality of interaction. Hiranyaksha's quality of interaction with Varuna, was it good? He was very sarcastic. Sir, I beg you, please give me arms. What do you want? I want to fight with you, he said. So his quality of interaction was very bad, correct, no? And second, what is the second principle? Now, Hiranyakashipu loved whom the most? His brother. Then he said, I loved my brother so much, but this Vishnu became the cause of his killing, so I will kill Vishnu. Was it a right conclusion? Came to the wrong conclusion. He loved a wrong person in the first place. Correct, no? Isn't it? And what is the third principle? Yeah. Like you see, when Aghasura was in Vrindavan, you know, he took the form of a big vyala, serpent. And with his eyes, he was blinking at Krishna, looking at Krishna. And then he said, this is that person who killed my family members, like Putana, Bakasura. They are all my brother and sister. He is a fellow who is Bakari. Bakari means one who killed Baka, my brother. And he is the one who did Putanavad. I will not leave him. I will kill this fellow and give Tilanjali to my ancestors who have, you know, diseased ancestors who have passed away to them. So, in the Bhagavatam it is said, see, this fellow is saying, this is the fellow who killed, but did he go out to Mathura to kill them? They came to Vrindavan. They tried to kill Krishna, so Krishna killed them, correct, no? But this fellow is blaming Krishna as the killer. So he is not viewing his sister and brother, Putana and Baka, to be the cause of, first source of conflict. Rather, he is considering who to be the source of conflict? Krishna. Was Krishna the cause? Krishna is simply playing with coward boys. He is not killing anyone. But this fellow, on the order of Kamsa, these fellows came. Who? Bakasura, Uputananda. When they tried to kill Krishna, they got killed. Correct, no? But he is blaming whom? That means he is breaking the third principle. Correct, no? And what is the fourth principle? We have to live out the... But then the asuras don't care. They continuously live a life of irreligion all around. Because their life is centered around wars. Fighting battles. Ravan is saying, Ravan had a fight. Ravan actually lifted the Himalayan mountain and Parvati got shocked. Shiva Parvati were sitting at the top and lifted. Then he had a fight with his brother Kubera and stole the Pushpaka Viman. Then he sent Karadushan to Nasik, Tenastan, with 14,000 soldiers and they were all killed by Ram. And Ravana also waged the war against Ram and he was himself killed. So you'll find the asuras actually, they delight in asuric activities and fight. You can see that. So these 4 principles are very valuable. Okay. Read from second. Go ahead.
By the force of the pregnancy of Diti, the light of the sun and moon was impaired in all the planets. And the demigods of various planets, being disturbed by that force, asked the creator of the universe, Brahma, what is this expansion of darkness in all directions?
Next.
The fortunate demigod said, O great one, just see this darkness which you know very well and which is causing us anxieties. Because the influence of time cannot touch you, there is nothing unmanifest before you.
Go ahead, next one.
O God of the demigods, sustainer of the universe, head jewel of all the demigods in other planets, you know the intentions of all living entities in both the spiritual and material worlds.
Yeah. And in this way they are praising Brahma, the next few verses. And then you come to 7. Yeah. Okay, and then 7 it goes on. And the 8th verse they are saying how everyone is controlled and you are the chief person, you offer our respect to you and all that, they are saying. And then in 9th verse, actually in the 7th to 8th I have given one a very important point Prabhupada is mentioning. In the 7th verse purport, if you see, in the middle of that purport Prabhupada says, one cannot attain the mercy and benediction of the Supreme Lord until one is able to control the mind and the senses. This is actually possible when one fully engages in Krishna consciousness. A person whose senses and mind are always engaged in transcendental service of the Lord has no possibility of engaging in material activities. The devotees of the Lord are not defeated anywhere in the universe. Therefore, they are called Narayana Para. And then prior to that, in the purport beginning, Prabhupada says, the purpose of all yogic performances is to gain full control of the senses. And the mind by breathing process, pranayama. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada explains how our mind, how our senses are like venomous serpents. So like the serpent has two problems. One is the serpent is very loose. You have seen if a serpent enters into somebody's house, by the time they take a stick and beat it, it will slip out. Into another's house. In this way, it's very difficult to catch a serpent and kill a serpent. It slips out and enters into any hole, correct? No? Similarly, the serpent has another problem. It has a teeth. It has a sharp, it has a poisonous teeth. And when it bites, when it releases poison, the person dies, correct? No? Similarly, the senses are compared to serpents. Why? Because if one goes to tamaguna or rajoguna, then one will find the senses are going out of control. Just like if you don't know how to drive a car, imagine you are sitting in the driver's seat with the steering in hand and you are pressing the clutch, the accelerator. Plus it, suddenly you find the car is going out of control and you don't know how to manage it because you don't know how to drive a car, you see. Similarly, if you don't know how to control the senses of this body, then the body can be very dangerous to cast the living entity to hell, you see. So therefore, he is saying that the purpose of yogic performance is to restrain the senses by asanas and restrain the mind by pranayama and focus in a one-pointed way on the super soul using intelligence. In this way, go to the stage of dharana, dhyana and samadhi, after which one will transcend the trouble of the mind and senses. And then Prabhupada says, we cannot attain the mercy and benediction of the Lord until one is able to control the mind and senses. Therefore, Rupa Goswami, what he says, the first verse in NOI, Vachavegam, Manasavegam, Krodavegam, Jigvavegam, Mudravegam, Upasthavegam, six vegams, he says. This is the reason. Because after we control those things, then he says, Atyahara, Prayasacha, Prajalpa, those are all habits. Then the third verse says, good habits, Utsaha, Nishya, Dairyat, and all that. Then what is the fourth verse? Priti Lakshanam. Only when you do the first three verses very well, fourth one would be easy. Then what is the fifth one? Krishneti, Yasya, Giritam, Manasadriyeta. Dealing with other living entities. How we deal with them. In this way, gradually he goes from sense control to Radha-kund, in the whole book, if you see like that. Therefore, Prabhupada says that, control the mind and senses by Krishna consciousness. See, there is one interesting section in the Bhagavatam. I'll just show you that verse. Please repeat. Indriyani jayantyashu nirahara manishinaha. Vivarjayettu rasanam tannirannasya vardate varjayatvatu rasanam tannirannasya vardate. See, what is the meaning of this? Indriyani jayanti ashu. Very quickly, the yogis control their all their senses. You know how? Nirahara. You fast, all senses will become. Seen that? Any of you on a Nirjal Ekadashi day, your senses were dynamic and active, or they were completely, you know, down? Correct, no? Our legs, our hands, our whole body becomes very tired when you do Nirahara. Therefore, some people do Nirahar on Ekadashi day, some people do Falahar, correct, no? Some people do Dugdahar, some people do Varayahar, no? Correct, no? So it varies from people to people, you know? So, but Nirahar, if somebody can do, Manishana means very intelligent people. Very intelligent. And then he's saying, Varjayatva to Rasanam. Rasanam means tongue. When you stop eating, when you completely become Nirahara, what happens? Tat Niranasya Vardate, he says. When you don't give food to the tongue, then the tongue becomes wild, wanting more and more. One devotee fasted from sweets for 1 month. And actually he had planned to fast for whole life. But after 1 month he realized it's difficult. Then he planned to switch back to eating sweet again. But after 1 month, he ate so much sweet with compound interest. And so much he ate after that. So, tan niranasya vardhate. Without giving ahar, the tongue becomes very voracious. Tavad jitendriyo nasyat. One who has not conquered the tongue is useless, is telling. Because if you have not conquered your tongue, all your other control is simply eyewash. He's saying. Vijitan yendriya puman. See, vijita anya indriya puman. If somebody says, I have only problem with the tongue, otherwise, you know, all other senses have control. He says it's useless, he's telling. Because his tongue is like a rudder of a ship, of a boat. You know, rudder below the boat? The way you move the rudder, the direction of the ship will be taken. Therefore, he's saying, Vijita Anya Indriya Puman is saying, Najayet Rasanam Yavat Jitam Sarvam Jite Rase Jitam Sarvam. You conquer all senses. When? Jite Rase. Jite Rase means when you conquered the tongue, you conquered all the senses. So, na jayet rasanam yavat. As long as you don't conquer the tongue, you have not conquered any other sense. Again and again, we will fall down, he's telling. And then he says, so in this purport, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta has read it.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that as long as one's intelligence is materially covered, one cannot understand the pleasure of Krishna consciousness. Trying to enjoy without Krishna, the living entity leaves the abode of the Supreme Lord called Vrajabhumi and comes down into the material world where he quickly loses control of his senses. One becomes particularly victimized by the tongue, belly and genitals, which exert intolerable pressure on the conditioned soul. These desires subside, however, when one re-establishes one's blissful relationship with the Lord, who is actually the reservoir of all pleasure. One who is attached to the taste of Krishna consciousness automatically follows all of the rules and regulations of religious life due to spontaneous attraction to Vishuddha Sattva or the mode of pure goodness. Without such spontaneous attraction, one is certainly bewildered by the pushing of the material senses. Even the beginning stage of devotional service, called sadhana bhakti, regulatory practice, is so powerful that it brings one to the platform of anartha nivritti, where one becomes free from unwanted sinful habits and gains relief from the pressure of the tongue, belly and genitals. Thus one is delivered from the bondage of material addiction and can no longer be cheated by the allurements of the material energy. And it is said, in this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that the business of the tongue is to gratify itself with its varieties of flavor. But by wandering in the 12 holy forests of Rajmandal, Vrindavan, one can be freed from the 12 flavors of material sense gratification. The five principal divisions of material relationships are neutral admiration, servitude, friendship, parental affection and conjugal love. The seven subordinate features of material relationships are material humor, astonishment, chivalry, compassion, anger, dread and ghastliness. Originally, these 12 rasas or flavors of relationship are exchanged between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity in the spiritual world. And by wandering in the 12 forests of Vrindavan, one can re-spiritualize the 12 flavors of personal existence. Thus, one will become a liberated soul, free from all material desires. If one artificially tries to give up sense gratification, especially that of the tongue, the attempt will be a failure. And in fact, one's desire for sense gratification will increase as a result of artificial deprivation. Only by experiencing real spiritual pleasure in the relationship with Krishna can one give up material desires.
Yes. Therefore, he says, Jitendriya Nasyat. He says, the first verse says, only when you conquer tongue, you conquer everything. But then he says, you cannot conquer the tongue, because when you starve the tongue by not giving food, then all other senses become activated. Therefore, he says here that, you know that famous verse? I'll try to recollect. In that Harihara Nama, sixth line, what is the sixth line? He says, Panchagras, what is that? What is that? Ichai Gosai Jar Muhitara Das Tansavara Pada Reno Mara Panchagras. That's what he says in this verse. That means the five types of foods for our five senses, Shabda Sparsha Rasa Rupa Gandha. We have to give only what Goswamis have allowed us to accept. That means with our eyes, we should only accept the forms of Sri Vigraha. With our ears, we should only hear Krishna Katha. With our nose, we should only smell that which is offered to Krishna. With our tongue, we should only eat prasadam. With our skin, we should only engage in rendering services to the Lord. So, this is what Goswamis have given us, mora panchagras. By eating the food, senses will become controlled, he says. That's a way to control the senses. So, control mind and senses by, read this theme.
Control mind and senses by Krishna consciousness to attain the mercy of the Lord.
See, some of you may wonder, why did I spend so much time in this? But I think in our level, this is very important, I think. Correct, no? Okay. Now, we were in 8th, no? Okay. Then we got started praying to Brahma in 9th verse, please be merciful to us. We have fallen into a miserable condition because the darkness has enveloped the whole sky. All our work is suspended in our planets. And then in the Kashyapa and Diti, in the Diti's womb, Kashyapa has put a semen which has created this big darkness. Now Maitreya is telling that Brahma mildly smiled and Prahasya. And he tried to satisfy demigods. He was pleased with that prayer. Now Brahma is speaking. ब्रह्मोवाच मानसामे सुतायुष्मत् पूर्वजाः सनकादयः चेरुर्विहायसा लोकान् लोकेषु विगतस्पृहाः.
Lord Brahma said, my four sons Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandana and Sanat Kumara, who were born from my mind, are your predecessors. Sometimes they travel throughout the material and spiritual skies without any definite desire.
Yeah. Because such sages like Kumaras, they don't have any material desire. In the material world, imagine if somebody comes out of his house and goes out to the market, you surely know he has some desire. He'll go to the supermarket and buy something. Correct, no? Or he has to go to the railway station, buy some ticket to travel to some other place to do something else. But the living entity always has some material sense gratification program. But sages like Navagindra also say the same thing. They don't have any definite destination to go in this world, because their destination is opportunity for preaching. Wherever there is an opportunity to enlighten conditioned souls, they would rush there to that place. Therefore, such sages sometimes may be going in one direction, but if there is a better opportunity, they may go in opposite direction. Correct, no? Like somebody was, Krishnanand Prabhu, once was going from Delhi, he had booked his ticket from Delhi to Bombay, and that evening was a train. But then, I was in Kanpur, I was going to Vrindavan. And when I came to Vrindavan, suddenly I found him there. Prabhu, you said you have a train to Mumbai. Yeah, train to Mumbai is the evening, but I didn't go. He said, why? Because one group of devotees have called me, some 300 devotees have come from somewhere. They gave me a phone call that they were asking me where I am. I said, I am in Delhi. They said, Prabhuji, can you come for our yatra for 3 days? I changed my whole plan in Bombay. Then from Delhi, he came to Vrindavan and 3 days he was there. Poor fellow, I don't know who else arranged it in Bombay for a program. They might have to cancel. So nobody can predict Krishnan Prabhu's programs. Because nobody can predict the destination. The destination will depend on who is calling, how many devotees are calling, where are they, correct, no? So sages, great saintly persons, their only target or goal is to see that they benefit the other living entities, correct, no? Because they don't have any sense gratification program, you see. And then he is saying, Ta ekada bhagavato vaikuntas yamala atmanaha yayur vaikuntha nilayam sarvaloka namaskritam.
After thus traveling all over the universes, they also entered into the spiritual sky, for they were freed from all material contamination. In the spiritual sky, there are spiritual planets known as Vaikunthas, which are the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His pure devotees, and are worshipped by the residents of all the material planets.
Yeah, see the purport, somebody read it, please. Purport.
The material world is full of cares and anxieties. In any one of the planets, beginning from the highest down to the lowest, Patal, every living creature must be full of cares and anxieties because in the material...
Full of cares and anxieties. Like in this world, the first anxiety is about the health. Everybody in a home feels, let nobody get sick. And then once everybody is healthy, then the next is academic worry. Whether my son's daughter should study well and get good marks, isn't it? Then they have worry about money. How to get more money so that you have better facility at home, better comforts, better luxuries. They worry about it. Then they have, worries within family. Many desires they have, sometimes they are not able to fulfill due to some obstructions. They are hoping that let this happen, let that happen. Let our daughter get married, let our son settle in business, or let our son go abroad. So people have their desires and plans set in their mind. And also, this is all within family. When somebody goes out of the family, there is always fear. You know, people after reaching a certain place, they phone up and say, "Pahunch gaya," correct, no? I have safely reached. And then they say, when you go in a plane, people say, "Have a safe journey." Correct? There is a fear when you go out, there may be accidents. or there is a fear there may be bomb blast. So the material world, there is at any time there is always fear. I came to know somewhere in Jaipur or somewhere some 36 cars, you know, boom boom boom, they hit on one another and big accident took place just a couple of days ago. You will find that in this world at any given time there could be damages in such a way that the damages could be either there is thievery or there is accident or there is suicide or there is sudden unexpected death in this world or some terrible disease contracted by somebody at a young age, isn't it? So in this material world at any given time Prabhupada says the material upheavals in the material world are not at all uncommon. Prabhupada says in that verse, yah sarvatra anavisnehas tatat prapya shubha shubham nabhinandati nadveshti tasya prajnapatish. In that purport Prabhupada says the material upheavals in the material world are not at all uncommon. Material world is two things about material world. It is a very uncertain world and it is uncontrollable world. Things are uncertain and things are not in our control. Like somebody contracts a deadly disease, you run from one doctor to another, sometimes there is no cure only. Nobody is able to detect what is the problem. You can see that. So Prabhupada writes in the beginning here that there are always cares and anxieties in this world. Safety and security, care and anxiety. If you are very rich, there is a problem. Somebody will shoot you and take your money away. If you are very poor, you know, you cannot get food for 3 days. And people who are poor want to become rich, but people who are rich are very afraid of their life itself. So the world is designed in such a way that no one in this world is free from fear. One shloka Radha Gopinath Prabhu used to often say, Bhoge Rogi Bayam, Kule Chiti Bayam. Which means, if somebody is a bhogi, he has fear that rogue will come, disease will come. And somebody is a kula, kule means very popular, famous, born in a high birth. Chitibayam, he is afraid I may fall down. Mane, dainyabayam. If somebody is a reputed person, he may be insulted in the public. Correct, no? Like this, kaye krithantad bayam. Which means, if one has a body, there is fear that any time this body will be taken away by death. Like that. There are many bayams like this. List of around dozen bayams it gives in that shloka. The idea is, in this is a world of fear, he says. Therefore, this world is called Kuntha, whereas that world is called Vaikuntha. That's what he's going to explain now. Read further.
The living entities, however, are actually eternal. They want an eternal home, an eternal residence, but because of accepting a temporal abode in the material world, they are naturally full of anxiety.
Yes. See, our material body made of Panchamahabhut belongs to material world. But our spiritual body belongs to spiritual world. Therefore, this material world is foreign to the soul. This should always be remembered. That this world is not our home. This world is actually a temporary place. So, Prabhupada gives an example. Sometimes say, your company from Pune sends you to Delhi for some work. They put you in a hotel and you are allowed to stay there 3 days or something. You stay there and then you do your work and then you check in and you check out. Correct, no? In that hotel, you may have some limited facilities. You may carry with you, you know, in case you don't eat outside, you may carry a stove with you, an electric stove or something. And you cook there and then 3 days are over, you vacate and come back to Pune. Correct, no? So Prabhupada says, we should come to this world like that, Prabhupada says. We are coming to this world, now we have checked in now. We also have to check out also. And we are allowed to stay. The other day, just 3-4 days ago, I went to one military lieutenant colonel's house, you know. So he was telling me, every 2 years they are transferred. Can you imagine? Because the army people are not allowed to stay in one place. Because secrets and all should be preserved, no? So they are moved every 2 years. So he said, we are used to moving like nomads from one place to another, you know. So we don't do any permanent setting anywhere, you know, and the place of work is changed, you know, the residences are changed, the house is changed, and child's education is changed. They put the child in army school and then wherever they go, they put the child in that school like that. So, but generally those people are allowed to stay in one place. They get used to it, correct, no? Then change becomes very difficult to accept, correct, no? So the material world, the more we get stuck in this world, we become attached to the material world. And it becomes difficult for us to leave and go. But he says, don't be attached to this world, which is a place of cares and anxieties, he's telling. Because it's always, why to remain in such a dangerous place? Like near the railway station, sometimes your building has a board, abandoned. You've seen that? Imagine it's a nice building, but there's a crack which has come. It's a 100-year-old building. So they have put a big board, abandoned. So they remove the offices and everything from there and build a new building and keep it there. Sometimes a beggar may think, you know, are you such a nice building? Nobody's living here, let me go and live. If he lives there, is it a safe place to live? Suddenly in the night, the whole building may collapse. And he may become chutney under the building. Correct, no? So material world also, as soon as it's created, there's a board to put up, abandoned. Dukkalayam, Ashashvatam. Ashashvatam means it's abandoned, world to be abandoned. Another place he says, Anityam, Asukam, Lokam, Imam Prapya, Vajaswamam, he says. Anityam means what? Ashashvatam. Asukam means Dukkalayam. Same thing he's telling in another place, in Bhagavad Gita. So instead of saying suffering, he's saying Asukam, he's saying. There he's saying Dukkalayam, you see. So one should consider this very seriously, that in this is a world where, just like in the ocean, there is only salt water everywhere. Similarly, in this world, you will see that anything you touch, there is some suffering, problem associated with it. It's wonderful to have your own car, but you'll have to maintain the car. You have to put water in the car, air in the car, petrol in the car, car tax you have to pay, and there can be accidents also in the car. You get anything, you have problem in this world. Like that he says. Therefore, he's talking about cares and anxieties. Everybody is looking for an eternal home, eternal residence. Read further.
In the spiritual sky, the planets are called Vaikuntha because the residents of these planets are free from all anxieties. For them, there is no question of birth, death, old age, and diseases, and therefore they are not anxious. On the other hand, residents of the material planets are always afraid of birth, death, disease, and old age, and therefore they are full of anxieties.
Yes. Therefore, they are full of anxieties. So, matter and spirit, we can make a comparison. Matter is dark. Spirit is light. Matter is heavy and spirit is lightweight. Like Prabhupada says, if a child is walking with a mother or father, the mother or father have to just give one finger to the child. Child can hold on to the finger and walk. Whereas, if a child is dead, then the body becomes heavy. Correct, no? So matter is heavy, but the spirit is light, Prabhupada says. Prabhupada gives his example. So as soon as the spirit enters the body becomes lighter than dead matter, he says. Similarly, the matter is pain-producing. Spirit is? The spirit in relation with the Lord, and naturally, that relationship is bliss-producing. Like that. Similarly, the matter, although matter is eternal, the matter offers us temporary bodies which are manifestations of matter. It is temporary. Whereas spirit is eternal. You see, even in Bible and Quran, there is a talk about spirit, the word spirit. After death, the spirit will be answerable to God in heaven. So they also say, who is a spirit? The spirit is spirit soul. So the spirit, being a part and parcel of Lord, the spirit is also very powerful. So Srila Prabhupada several times emphasizes in his lectures that we have to internalize this knowledge about the spirit and the spirit's relation with the spiritual world and the Vaikunthapati, who is the Lord of Vaikuntha. If this knowledge is internalized and firm faith is developed, then one can transcend this material world. So that is why we say Mrityorma Amritam Gamaya. You go from the world of death to world of eternity. So this particular verse talks about the spiritual sky. See, in our Puranas, Shastras, there is information like this about that eternal world. But it is not everywhere. Occasionally you get this knowledge. Like in the Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter, Krishna is speaking, you know, ഊർധ്വമൂലം അധഃ ശാഖം അശ്വത്ഥം പ്രാഹുരവ്യയം ഛന്ദാംസി യസ്യ പർണാനി യസ്തം വേദ സവേദവേദ്. So this was onwards, it tells about the upside down tree. So this upside down tree knowledge is well known in Hindu literature. The upside down tree is material world, the original tree is spiritual world. Even Shruti mantra say that, yasmat param na paramasti kinchit yasman naniyojyo yoste kinchit vrikshayi vastabdo divideshtatyekas തേനേദം പൂർണം പുരുഷേണ സർവം. സി ഇറ്റ്സ് എ തേർഡ് ലൈൻ സൈസ് വൃക്ഷ ഇവ സ്തബ്ദോ. സുപ്രീം അബ്സല്യൂട്ട് ട്രൂത്ത് ഇസ് കമ്പയർഡ് ടു വൃക്ഷ. ഹി സ്റ്റാൻഡ്സ് ലൈക്ക് എ ട്രീ ആൻഡ് ദ മെറ്റീരിയൽ വേൾഡ് ഇസ് അപ്സൈഡ് ഡൗൺ ട്രീ. ദ അബ്സല്യൂട്ട് ട്രൂത്ത് ഓഫ് ദ സ്പിരിച്വൽ വേൾഡ്, ദ ലോർഡ് ആൻഡ് ഹിസ് വൈകുണ്ഠ ഇസ് കമ്പയർഡ് ടു എ വൃക്ഷ, വേറാസ് ഇൻ ദ മെറ്റീരിയൽ വേൾഡ് ഇറ്റ് ഇസ് അപ്സൈഡ് ഡൗൺ. ഹിയർ ഓൾസോ ദർ ഇസ് വെറൈറ്റി, ദർ ഓൾസോ ദർ ഇസ് വെറൈറ്റി, ദർ ഇസ് സ്പിരിച്വൽ വെറൈറ്റി, ഹിയർ ദർ ഇസ് material variety. But the difference is, the material variety is glittering and alluring us and making us suffer. That the spiritual variety is all meant for Lord's pleasure. So like this information is given in Bhagavad Gita, nirmana moha jita sanga dosha, that prayer says last padam gacchantya mudha padam avyayam tat, that is avyaya padam, imperishable abode which every jiva has to reach. Like that in Bhagavad Gita, little information is there. What is that? Another verse. Natat bhaseti suryo nash shanko na pavaka yat gatva. Yeah. But there is not much. Okay, I will show you one verse. Purushasya parapartha. That verse we will see. Prabhupada writes here. This verse gives a description of the eternal sky. And then Prabhupada is saying, about Goloka is saying here. Prabhupada is saying in the last line, in the desert there is no water, but the mirage suggests that there is fresh cooling water somewhere else. Similarly, in the material world there is no water, there is no happiness, but the real happiness is in the spiritual world, he says. And then he is quoting the Nirmana Moha. Padam Avyayam. See here. Padam Avyayam, eternal kingdom can be reached by one who is Nirmana Moha. What does that mean? We are after designation. Someone wants to become Sir or Lord. And then so these things Prabhupada is writing in the introduction. He is collecting. Avyaktokshara ityuktas. See, here Krishna says, yam prapya na nivartante tad dhama paramam mama. Here also he says, see here, this verse. Purushaha sa parapartha, the Supreme Lord, oh my dear Partha, in that world, how he is attained? Bhaktya. By bhakti, labhya. He is obtainable by bhakti. What type of bhakti it is? Ananyaya. Ananya bhakti. And then he is saying, yasyantaha sthani bhutani yena sarvam idam tatam. Antasthani. He is the super soul in the heart of all living beings. So there is information in Bhagavad Gita also like this, which we showed just now. But this information about the spiritual sky is actually the most vital information. Why? Because that is our eternal destination. There is no other place beyond that. The ultimate abode. So this chapter talks about the Kunta and Vaikunta. Like we say, you know, Asutoma, Sadgamaya, Tamasoma, Jyotirgamaya. So Prabhupada in one place compares the material world to nails and spiritual world to flesh. Another place he compares material world to smoke, spiritual world to fire. Why he is comparing nail and flesh? Because nail is dead, whereas flesh is alive. So in spiritual world everything is chetan, whereas the material world all matter is dead. Therefore he is comparing nail and flesh. Similarly smoke and... Why he is comparing smoke and fire? Because smoke is trouble producing, and fire is meant for serving, and meant for cooking sabji or something. Can be used for cooking like that. So Prabhupada's one of the prominent teaching is this. You know, please repeat this verse. Vishnu Shakti Smrito. Vishnu Shakti Paraprokta. Kshetrajna Kya Tatha Para. Avidya Karma Sanyaya. Tritiya Shakti Rishyate. See, this is Vishnu Purana. Says Vishnu has three energies. Huh? Vishnu Shakti Paraprokta, it's called transcendental. Pakshetra Jnakya Tathapara. Huh? And then he's saying, Avidya Karma Sanyanga Tritiya Shaktir, he says. Huh? He says, there is Antaranga Shakti, Bahiranga Shakti and Tatasa Shakti. Three Shaktis of Vishnu are there. So Prabhupada, this is one of the most prominent teaching of Prabhupada. In all his small books you will find. Hmm? Spiritual world is Antaranga Shakti, material world is Bahiranga Shakti and we are Tatastha. So we have a choice to go back there or come here. Hmm? So this is something which Prabhupada emphasizes repeatedly for our meditation. Hmm? And the material world is characterized by Durga, who induces suffering. Hmm? And spiritual world is, adorned by Lakshmi and Sita and Radha, huh? And with the lotuses in their hands. Huh? And in a motherly way, she engages all the jivas in Lord's service. Huh? That is spiritual world. So Prabhupada, several places, emphasizes this in his teachings because this is ultimate knowledge. There is nothing beyond this. If one goes to spiritual world, there is nothing beyond. Yad gatva nani vartante. Therefore, this chapter is a very important chapter which we teach for the students also. And just as the smoke is trouble producing, fire is serving, similarly we can see that even in this world, if we follow these principles given in this chapter, in our everyday life, one will be able to observe the amazing ambience in the home or in temple or any place. See, I'm going to show you one section. Please read this one, beginning from here. Read it.
Everyone should be friendly for the service of the Lord. Everyone should praise another service.
This is 7.5.12. Very important purport. 7.5.12.
Everyone should praise another service to the Lord and not be proud of his own service.
See, all the Vaikuntha behavior is given in this place. Everyone should be friendly for the service of the Lord. Like you remember, I was telling you once a pastime of in Vrindavan, how the wind, while moving, the Yamuna wanted to offer some droplets of water, and the fragrant flowers in the garden wanted to offer some fragrance, and the wind carried all of that, and then it went and touched Krishna's body, covered boy's body. Everybody became very happy. So, in the spiritual world, people cooperatively render service. Nobody feels that, if I give my droplets of water and Krishna is happy with the wind, he may not know that I have given. Mera kya hoga? Will my name be taken into account? They don't have such fears. They actually cooperatively are ready to offer service to Krishna. Therefore, everyone should be friendly for service of Lord. Then?
This is the way of Vaishnava thinking. Vaikuntha thinking.
Everyone should praise another service. That is second point. Like you all know in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, correct? One devotee, like a Brahmana, is praising Indra. And Indra is praising whom? Brahma. And Brahma is praising Shiva. Shiva is praising Prahlad. Prahlad is praising Hanuman. Like that it goes on. So everyone is praising another devotee to be better than oneself. And no genuine devotee will proclaim that I am the best devotee. If somebody thinks like that, he is a neophyte. So this is the second thing. First thing is we should be friendly with all for serving. One should not want to do some service alone and get all the credit for oneself. One should work cooperatively. Like Prachetas, 10 of them did devotional service together for the pleasure of Lord. And Lord became very pleased with them. Like that he's telling. First is being friendly in service. Second thing is, we should praise another service heartily. And one should not be proud of his own service. That means what? I am a preacher. I am a book distributor. You are only a cook. You are only a backup. You are only a gardener. You know, look at me. You are only a pujari. But look at me. I am a great book distributor. So that kind of pride should be given up. He's saying, one should not be proud of his own service. In spiritual world, everybody value, Prabhupada says, Krishna values even a calf's service as much as he values Radharani's service, he says. Yes? This is the way of Vaishnava thinking or Vaikuntha thinking. Yeah?
There may be rivalries and apparent competition between the servants in performing service, but in the Vaikuntha planets, the service of another servant is appreciated, not condemned. This is Vaikuntha competition. There is no question of enmity between servants. Everyone should be allowed to render service to the Lord.
There is no enmity between servants. Because everybody thinks, he is servant of Vishnu, I am servant of Vishnu. We both have a common master to please. So I am trying to please him according to the way Vishnu has asked me to please. So he is pleasing Vishnu the way Vishnu has asked that fellow to please. Like, you know, Prabhupada told Parampuja Lokanath Swami Maharaj, you run the Padayatras worldwide. Prabhupada told Gopakrishna Maharaj that you build a dozen temples in, you know, Delhi. And Prabhupada told his own Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, you initiate some 50,000 disciples in Bengal. So he gave different instructions to different people and they all are pleasing Prabhupada according to what Prabhupada has asked them to do. Correct, no? Similarly, one should know that actually everyone is ultimately pleasing Vishnu. And if they are in Vaikuntha, what is the meaning? If they are in Vaikuntha, they are there in Vaikuntha with permission of Vishnu. Correct, no? That means they have pleased Lord Vishnu, therefore they are there. Similarly, if somebody is in the temple or community, they have entered this community because Lord has sanctioned them to enter. Therefore, one should not have any rivalry. Prabhupada says there may be rivalry in apparent competition in book distribution or preaching or expansion. But in the Vaikuntha planets, the servants always appreciate other servants. Even Kshatriyas, if you see in battle, if you do better than some Kshatriya, even the enemies will glorify. You've seen that? In Vritrasura's battle with Indra. At that time, when Vritrasura was so powerful, some of the demigods glorified him also. You will find even the enemies will glorify. Well done, well done. Jai, jai, they would say, if somebody makes a very powerful move. So, if your enemies can glorify the enemy, what to speak of all devotees who are all servants of the Lord? Why should they not appreciate? He's asking. Read further. There is no question.
There is no question of enmity between servants. Everyone should be allowed to render service to the Lord to the best of his ability. And everyone should appreciate the service of others. Such are the activities of Vaikuntha.
And ability means capacity. A squirrel may render little service, Hanuman may render more, and everyone is on the same platform, absolute platform. Like Sudama Brahmana is giving chipped rice, isn't it? If you see, Bahulashva is giving big feast, Shrutadev is giving little. So this is one speciality of the Lord of Vaikuntha. You know, he has such a big heart that he doesn't worry about his prestige. Like Krishna didn't bother about his prestige when Sudama Brahmana came to his palace. Whereas Drupada was so much worried about his prestige, you see. So the Lord of Vaikuntha has ocean of good qualities, Kalyana Gun, they're called. So the one of these qualities is, he treats all jivas equally, whether it's Radharani or a calf. Prabhupada says, Krishna considers both their service absolute, he says. So this is one of his qualities. And like that, he has many other qualities also. He overlooks the small deficiencies in his devotees, like Ranganath. And he attentively observes even a little service done to him with love, like Jagannath. So these qualities of the Lord should be remembered by the devotee. And similarly, the Lord is all auspicious, and anyone who comes in touch with him also finds some of the Lord's qualities sticking to him. Read further.
As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15.15, Sarvasya Chaham Riddhisannivishto Matta Smritir Jnanam Apohanam Cha. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart, giving dictation according to the attitude of the servant. However, the Lord gives different dictation to the non-devotees and devotees. The non-devotees challenge the authority of the Supreme Lord, and therefore the Lord dictates in such a way that the non-devotees forget the Lord's service life after life and are punished by the laws of nature. But when a devotee very sincerely wants to render service to the Lord dictates in a different way. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, Tesham Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. That's what Prabhupada is going to say. Everyone is actually a servant, not an enemy or a friend. And everyone is working under different directions from the Lord, who directs each living entity according to his mentality. See, this is a very important point. Therefore, different devotees have different opinions because they are inspired by the Lord within. When somebody has a different opinion than you, it's not that he is your enemy. He is getting such dictation from the Lord in his heart. Lord is saying that you try this. And then he says, Prabhu, I want to try this. Hey, why do you want to try? You're whimsical? You're nonsense? You may think like that. Therefore, Prabhupada says that the Lord, why the Lord inspires different people differently in order to expand the movement, in order to make something very wonderful through different devotees. Therefore, here comes a very important point that one of the natures of Lord's devotees is they have a firm faith that Lord is seated in the heart of every living being. And he is also speaking to the living being, giving them guidance, giving them direction, giving them remembrance. So, because they respect the living entity as someone who is accompanied by the Lord, such people can always live in spiritual consciousness. But those people who see the living entity separated from the Lord, they create enmity with the living entities. They think that this fellow is my friend, that fellow is my enemy. You know, he agrees with my opinion, he opposes my opinion, he is my enemy. This kind of bheda bhava we make. In Vaikuntha, such kind of things don't exist. So in this way, Prabhupada gives very beautiful Vaikuntha thinking purport, we call it. What is the nature of Vaikuntha Vasis? So, actually by studying this type of chapter, in our own communities, when we make even a small glimpse of these qualities, in devotees exhibit, actually what attracts new people to come to Krishna consciousness is actually the qualities and behavior of the devotees. You will always see, people will say that what attracted to them in the early days is the qualities of the devotees. So therefore, this chapter has many valuable inputs for us on what qualities are worthy of contemplation and cultivation. Vasanti yatra purushaha sarve vaikuntha murtayaha ye animittena nimittena dharmenaradayan harim.
In the Vaikuntha planets, all the residents are similar in form to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They all engage in devotional service to the Lord without desires for sense gratification.
Yeah, the main point is this here. They don't aspire for sense gratification. Therefore, they do bhakti without bhukti. So there is no hankering for bhukti. Material world is filled with this tendency for bhukti. Selfish sense gratification, the material world. Whereas spiritual world is filled with service attitude. The first thought that will come in anyone's mind is, how I can please the Lord? So, if you see, the Ramayana Mahabharata gives us a glimpse of how all the characters always thought of Lord's pleasure, the first. So, each of them, if you take separately and see, like how Kausalya was worried about Ram's survival in forest, so she wanted to accompany him. But Ram told, you have to stay with your husband, you can't leave him. In fact, she said, you are following your father's order, then you should follow mother's order also. So he said, mother, you know, Jamadagni ordered Parashuram and he had to follow his father's order. So I also have to follow my father's order, Ram said. Then she said, I will accompany you. She said, no, you have to stay with your husband. A wife should never leave the husband. He said, then Mother Kausalya said, okay, I will arrange for Brahmanas to bless you, my son, so that all these 14 years will pass peacefully for you. That's what she did. Then when he went to Sita, Ram himself told Sita, Sita, stay with my mother peacefully. 14 years will go like one moment, I'll come back. See how Ram applies logic, you see. He's telling his mother, you have to stay with the husband. Now he himself is going to forest but telling Sita to stay with mother. And Sita said, what are you talking? He said, for a wife to be with the husband is like heaven. I will see the mountains and lakes and waterfalls and birds and animals in the forest and I will be very happy in your company. But at in the palace, it will be like a thorn of bed, a bed of thorns for me, thorn bed for me, living in the palace. But then Ram said, you see, in the jungle, there will be ferocious animals praying for food. There will be no comfortable bedding for you, no comfortable cottage for you, and no good foods. We'll be eating kandamool and roots and everything. But in palace, you will get nice facility here. So Sita, you stay here. I will go to jungle, fulfill my duty to my father and come back. And Sita loudly cried. She said, why did my father give me in marriage to a man like you? You know, who is trying to separate yourself from me like this? And she said, you go and come alone, you will find me dead. I will consume poison and die, or I'll enter fire and die, or I'll drown myself in a river. But you won't find me alive. Then Ram said, Sita, I cannot be separated from you even for a moment. But I wanted to test what is your intention. Whether you want to stay back or you want to come with me. I simply wanted to please you, he says. So Ram is trying to please Sita and Sita is trying to please Ram. You will see. So each character, if you take with Lakshman, Lakshman's wife Urmila, Lakshman's mother Sumitra, they both had made up their mind that Lakshman should go to forest. You know, even before Lakshman went to meet them. And Lord Ram, how is he very sensitive to dealing with Lakshman? Ram told Lakshman, Lakshman, you take care of the three mothers, he said. Taking care of mothers, that Bharat will do, he said. He said, I will walk ahead of you, he said. So that you and Sita can peacefully walk in the jungle without any anxieties. Any obstacle comes our way, I will be the first one to tackle, Lakshman said. And when you live in the forest, I'll make a cottage for both of you to sleep. And I'll bring fruits, roots, berries, everything in the forest. I'll bring water. I will be keeping wide awake at night, safeguarding both of you. So in this way, I will get an opportunity to serve you for 14 years. So actually, this is a Vaikuntha consciousness. You can see they are actually... Lakshman is sacrificing. Lakshman is considered the topmost servant in the whole of Ramayana. Bharat also, but Lakshman served Ram 14 years like this, every day. So Ramayana is full of that type of servants. Actually, these literatures give us a small window to the spiritual world. Like what do you call it? Like tourist booklets you have seen, no? Like they give photos of America, Statue of Liberty and things like that. So when you see that booklet, you get a taste to go to America. You think, I want to see America. Some of the special, like in America, you saw one booklet, it was telling the beauty of India. It was saying, in India, there is Saranath Pillar, there is Ashoka, this thing. Similarly, some of the prominent holy places in India, they had highlighted. So in the material world, people highlight America and India, and when you go to India, America, they highlight India back and forth. But after you go to those places, you get bored after some time. But spiritual world is a place where these type of qualities exist, where we said. These qualities are magnetic qualities. They really charm the heart. Ram is charmed by Lakshman, Lakshman is charmed by Ram. Sita and Ram are charmed by each other also. Ram and Hanuman are charmed by each other also. Ram is admiring Hanuman's surrender. Hanuman is admiring Lord's qualities. In this way, the spiritual world, the consciousness remains ever fresh because of this one very vital quality. Everybody is selfless. Everybody is free from selfishness and sense gratification. The Jiva Goswami explains this concept as Tat Sukhi Sukhitvam, he says. Sukhitvam means the mode of obtaining happiness is by making the Lord happy. I will never want to make myself happy. For example, it's getting late for the class, for the prasad. So immediately what will one ask? Prabhu, you may be very hungry. It's time for your prasad. Neither one is correct, no? So the one will not think about one's hunger. Correct, no? In spiritual world. That is the way people think. Actually, I have seen when I met my Shiksha Guru, Bhaktir Samant Maharaj, I will be wondering always, whenever he talked anything, he always talked from the point of view of our comfort, not his comfort. He will say that, you know, now the class is going long, you all may be very hungry, you should go for prasad, like that he would say. Actually, his time itself would be out. He would be speaking beyond his prasadam timing. So, in the spiritual world, the wiring of the mind of the people is made in such a way that they always think of, like Sita is thinking of Ram's welfare, Ram is thinking of Sita's welfare, Lakshman is thinking of Ram's welfare, like that everybody. Can you give an example for this? Yes? Who is saying? Ah, yeah, correct. Covered boys are telling Krishna Balaram that they wanted that tall fruits. Actually, they wanted to see Krishna Balaram eat tall fruits. So what they say? Krishna, we are very hungry, they said. Because they know very well, if you tell Krishna, Krishna, I think you will like that fruit very much, better you know, get one fruit and you eat it. And then after you eat, if you want, you can give us. They didn't say that. They knew very well that if you want to see Krishna eat, we will ask as if we want it. That is, Acharyas have given that commentary beautifully. So, very amazing consciousness. Bhakti without bhakti. So, we will halt here and then we will continue in the afternoon session from the fifth one. So, the main point here is all Vaikunthavasis are entering devotion service without desires for sense gratification. In material world, it is said people will forget their lunch box or throw away their watch to work in a company. Hard, because at the end of the month, they can get some incentive, some extra pay, paycheck or bonus or something like that. Or they can get a promotion in the company. So for the sake of sense gratification, people are ready to slog like a donkey in this world. Whereas in the spiritual world, personal sense gratification, people throw it away. They are concerned only about seeing the Lord happy. Actually, this is one thing we have to emphasize in our preaching also, right from the very early days of preaching. We have to feed it into the blood of the people. This is such a very vital thing. That means, you know, you will really become happy only when you please the Supreme Lord. A hand can get strength only when it puts the food in the belly. You know, yatha taror moola nishechanena tripyanti tatskanda bhuja upashaka. Unfortunately, because this is not taught very strongly in the early stage, we come even up to the point of becoming brahmacharis in the ashram also. After joining ashram also, you know, to think about one's own belly, one's own comforts, one's own conveniences, one's own considerations. So it becomes so deep-rooted. Comforts means facilities and luxuries for me. Conveniences, I see my convenience first, not your convenience. Like Lord Rama asked the sages told him, "Oh Rama, we want to leave this place now and we want to proceed ahead," they said. You can see that was the spot where Bharat had come to meet Ram, you know. And Ram asked the sages, "Why are you all disappointed with me?" Because Lord Ram cried tears when he came to know Dasharatha had passed away. He saw the three widowed mothers. So Ram had cried profusely. He cried tears with Bharat also. And finally convinced Bharat to go back. And all Ayodhyavasis went back. So Ram thought maybe the sages are not liking our family dealings. They want to be free from me and, you know, so that they can do their own practices peacefully. Ram thought like that. Did it create any inconvenience to you? That Ram asked. Sages said, "My dear Lord, how can you create any inconvenience? You are a personification of sensitivity. In fact, your association and your company is most sought by every living being. So we would never want to leave your lotus feet for a moment also. But we are going to the Bharadwaja Muni's one ashram where we have a schedule of yajna to be done. We have some, all of us jointly are supposed to come for one program. So we are going for that. We seek your permission. And then they all left. So you can see how Lord Ram is concerned about the convenience of the sages and saints. So the Ramayana and Mahabharata, Bhagavatam also, many places, it's full of that. Like in Mahabharata, you find Krishna, when he's speaking to Bhima, he's telling, Bhima, don't worry, you all will acquire the throne very soon. And he's going to Draupadi and telling her three times, in the beginning, in the middle, and while leaving. Because women require more assurance than... and also he is not telling Yudhishthira or Arjuna anything, because they don't need assurance. They are peaceful fellows. Bhima is a disturbed fellow, so he's giving him assurance.
Yeah.
Yes? Correct.
Mostly say that we have to work to make this place better. But we tell you should leave this place and try to work for going up. So what level we can convince them, like to tell that this is Vaikuntha, and like for new people how to...
See, one thing is the place Vaikuntha. Another thing is the Vaikuntha culture or the Vaikuntha ambience. So we could stress more on Vaikuntha ambience, because if we can bring Vaikuntha ambience in this world, actually people, then that place will become magnetic. It will suck in a lot of people. Actually, after I studied Gita and Bhagavatam, I became convinced that if we create an ambience which will attract Krishna's presence, then we don't have to attract people. Krishna will attract people. Prabhupada says, if you put Krishna anywhere, Krishna has to expand, Prabhupada says. If the place doesn't expand, there is a problem. It is not Vaikuntha ambience. You will find Prabhupada put Krishna in New York, and Krishna expanded to San Francisco, Los Angeles, London, Russia, everywhere. Correct, no? Just like Matsyavatar is expanding. So Prabhupada created the Vaikuntha ambience, even in a place like New York. The devotees, you see the videos and all of the early days, how they dealt with Prabhupada, how Prabhupada dealt with them, how the devotees dealt with one another. So Prabhupada brought that Vaikuntha ambience into material world. So we have to do the same thing. I showed one purport of Vaikuntha thinking. So if we emphasize these kind of principles, these are all Sattvaguna principles. So when people follow these principles, then they will become more intelligent and wise and begin to understand what is Vaikuntha. Because they are getting a bit of Vaikuntha experience here. Then they will want to have a ocean of such experience there. Correct, no? Because the newcomers, they are very pious. They are very faithful to sadhus and respectful to sadhus. You know, they want to worship the sadhus and get material benefits. And mostly they are in that platform. Desire platform. But to go from desire to duty and love, we can give them services to do sukriti. Correct, no? Because some people, even it seems they are so deep-rooted in desire platform, they will pull you also down to that. Very difficult to elevate them. Therefore, we have to increase their sukriti. You know, if sukriti is increased, then the understanding can become more elevated. And also, sattvaguna is a very good platform where people can understand the subject. Because in tamaguna, rajaguna, people are very stupid in sense gratification. And they are mostly wanting relief from pain, like the jnanis. This chapter is a very wonderful chapter, even for those who are chanting a few rounds also, they can catch very nicely. So we will come back at 3, we will continue the discussion on this chapter. Shri Prabhupada ki.